Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We're here. It's Saturday night. You know what that means. It is time for Colliders to Assemble. Rick Uccino, Iridian Fierro, Cresta, the star, here on a Saturday night to talk about the go-home edition of AEW Collision as tomorrow. What I mean, look at this. What, we're about, my math is right here, 14 hours and counting from 0 hour happening for All In Wembley Stadium, 80,000 plus supposed to be in attendance. We could talk about tomorrow's show. We could talk about the unfortunate just series of events that has happened this week. I know that's still heavy on a lot of people's minds, myself included, obviously, here. Yeah, it's been a rough go, but we are here. We are ready to talk about some wrestling. And ladies, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm kind of leaning on y'all tonight because, like I did with SmackDown on another outlet last night, and like I'm here to meet my contractual obligations. I watch the shows, but I just haven't really been able to watch them. If you know what I'm saying, like it's just hard to really still at this point kind of get into everything. But guys, get your humper chats in, your super chats in, any comments, questions, concerns, anything you want to talk about, it's on the table tonight. Ladies, how you doing? How you holding up this week? Iridian and Cresta, both of you, first off, thanks for holding things down last week while I was on Cincinnati Reds coverage for 700 WOW in Cincinnati. I'm happy to be back with you guys tonight. Iridian, how's it going?
It's going so good, and it is so nice to see your face again, Rick. You were missed last week, though Cresta and I held
Don't
it.
Lie to me.
We Superman power trip, baby.
We did it. We did the job. Our dad showed up. Sean was in here for like 2 minutes, and then he was out, and then we caused mayhem again, but I am doing good. Cresta, how are you today?
I am doing quite all right, and I have a sports reference joke for Rick. And I feel very proud when I make sports jokes because I don't watch sports. When you said that you were here to fulfill your contractual obligations, it reminded me of, I think his name is Marshawn Lynch. I'm only here so I don't get fired.
You're fine. Yeah. Captain Skittles. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't mean it in that sense. Like, I just, you know.
That's why it was a, but it's.
Yeah. I probably should have taken the last two nights off, but I figured after I left this last week and then like 2 weeks ago, like I've been so off and on this show. It's not how I really wanted to start it. I'm a guy who kind of prides myself on consistency, and the fact that I missed so many in the first like 2 months of this program is eating at me. So I'm here. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to talk about Collision tonight. again, guys, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in, and we will talk about them. Every single one of them. Every single one. We'll read them before the end of the show. Our good buddy Drew is monitoring the chat tonight. So hit us up, super chats, humper chats. We will get to them. Let's dive into it here tonight as we open up with Jack Perry. He comes down and he is basically holding a funeral for the FTW championship here as he is getting ready to retire it. He actually called himself the greatest FTW champion who ever lived, begins a eulogy. He plays this video montage, a bunch of shots of him with the FTW championship, which actually got me to laugh a little bit tonight. As soon as that's done here, Iridian, he looks like he's about to smash the title with a sledgehammer. Then the lights go out and we get the return of Hook, who just absolutely, by the way, looks shredded, looks great. Happy to see him back on the show. He is back for some revenge. He suplexes Jack Perry through a table, grabs the mic, and look, brevity is the soul of wit, and Hook has got this thing down. He says Wembley Sunday, slams the mic down, and we all know where things are going from here.
Yeah, it was crazy that they announced a match tonight, because I feel like tomorrow's card is already very full, and it's starting at noon, so I feel like we're going to get a couple good hours of wrestling. So to add another match on top of that, I'm like, okay, very interesting. But something that Hook said was like, you know, you can't get rid of the FTW championship. Like, I am the title. I am the bloodline of that championship. So I was like, oh my God, the references of the bloodline, the sledgehammer, WWE, you know, like I thought it was a good segment. And I'm also excited for this feud because I do think that they are a really, really good matchup. So I'm excited for this one tomorrow.
Yeah, this one's actually going to be, this is on the 0 hour, is where this match was added to, Cresta. So that gives us, I believe, two matches for 0 hour. And I think what we got eight or nine on the main card, at this point. So again, a stacked show for all 80,000 people, but, yeah, I'm glad this one is going to get some play here. I think it's nice for Hook to get a big one-on-one in front of 80,000. I mean, that's going to be the biggest match of his young career at this point, the biggest crowd, obviously. Heck, it's going to be the biggest crowd for a lot of these people, maybe almost everybody on the damn card, if I'm being honest. So with maybe the exception of Sting, I don't even know, but yeah, this is going to be a nice spotlight for him, for Jack, for the FTW championship. So I'm all for this, and I thought this was a good segment tonight. What about you?
I agree. This new repackaging of Jerk Jack Perry has been fantastic. I like it. Also want to give a shout out to the show not starting with the wrestlers cutting like their normal promo and then the music bumper. It just went right into the music bumper and started. This is cute. I, like you said, when he did the whole in the bikini bathtub with the FTW champion, that was so silly. Not even a shot of Taz. This is what happens when you feud with Christian Cage.
Yeah. Look, all around, it was really, really good. I'm happy that Hook is back. We got to see Hook a little bit later in that all-star eight-man tag that got a lot of time tonight. But overall, I thought this was a really, really good start to the show. And then, you know, unfortunately, things just kind of hit or miss tonight. Like, overall, guys, I mean, again, good start to the show. I think tonight overall, and we'll get into it individually, I think both Eddie Kingston and Samoa Joe were highlights tonight. In a show that was kind of lacking highlights. Like, was it just me in the fact that I'm still, you know, in a way about certain things after this week, or did y'all feel the same way about tonight?
If I'm being honest with you, everything notwithstanding, I expected a middle of the road, borderline lackluster show because they left right after the show on Dynamite. If I'm not mistaken, this was also taped on Wednesday or Thursday. So my expectations were low, but I agree with you about Eddie Kingston because I love Eddie Kingston. Even the main event was kind of, because I mean, I love CM Punk. So seeing him getting booed was kind of funny, but also kind of not. Like, come on, he ain't doing nothing today. What did you think, Iridian, about the show?
Oh, man. I was DMing you guys. I was like, oh, please, I need this show to end. I just had a really tough time getting into it. And I don't know if it was because, like, it seems that the timing was off. Like, I know we'll talk about this a little bit later, but like the Acclaimed had a music video in the middle of the show.
Bruh.
And we got just like a lot of promos. And I think the matches that we did get were super, super quick. And there was like two, maybe three really good matches, which was like the first one. And then, you know, Willow got a good time. And then the main event got a good time. So I was just trying to figure out like, okay, I get it. We have a pay-per-view tomorrow. And there was just a lot of people who aren't on the AEW roster. So that also kind of took me out a little bit. But I had a hard time getting used to the pacing of tonight and just, I don't know. Really just getting into it. Rick, how did you feel?
It just felt like a lot of filler tonight, right? Like it didn't feel like there was much of consequence. And again, I think a lot of it has to do, my feelings about this week notwithstanding, but I feel like this was just, I don't know, maintenance. Like, we got 2 hours that we have to fill. We pre-taped this. It feels like, trying to think of like the analogy here. It's like the last paper you had to do before spring break. Like you just kind of wanted to get it done before you got out the door. So you kind of rushed it together here a little bit ran out to the beach. You know, that's how I kind of feel. I feel like Tony kind of threw the show together last minute and then hopped on a jet to London and said, screw it. All right. That's Collision this week. We'll get them all. We'll get them on Sunday afternoon. Like that's what I feel like.
Yeah. And you know that it's like a C paper that you're not really going to fail, but it's not your best work. So,
yeah, exactly.
And at least I turned it in on time. So you can't be mad at me for that. I'll take the C. 65 is still passing.
That's like my entire college experience before I went to broadcasting school. So, you know, that's just right. That's where I was. So,
please get degrees.
So our first match of the night, by the way, guys, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. I see a lot of people talking in the chat and I do appreciate that. And there are some that, I do agree with, but if you want them read on the show, we need the super chats. We need the humper chats. Those are how you get them read live on the air tonight. Like our good buddy Doc said, too many squash matches, not enough women's matches. And that again, yes. That's part of my issue is when you have a filler show and you still only get one women's match on the entire damn card tonight. Although we did get to see Chris Statlander. We did get to see Ruby Soho. So, and there was a great video package for the women's title match tomorrow, which, by the way, there's still only one women's match on the card in Wembley, period.
Disgusting.
They put Chris and Ruby on All Out in Chicago. So again, still work, still progress that needs to be made. But our first match of the night was Orange Cassidy, Penta, and Eddie Kingston. They beat Butcher, Blade, and Kip Sabian. And my heart breaks for Kip Sabian because I just really want more for that young man. The finish saw Orange Cassidy run in and start just throwing haymakers and bashing everybody who wasn't on his team. That allows Eddie to slide in with a lariat, get the pinfall on Kip Sabian to pick up the win. I thought the match was pretty good for what it was. Hard to kind of get into it when it was clearly this was just a warm-up match for the gentlemen who are actually involved in Stadium Stampede tomorrow, which is one of the matches I'm desperately looking forward to. I think Eddie Kingston, pun intended, is going to be a madman tomorrow. Aridian, what did you think of the opening match? The match itself, before we get into the meat of things, where Eddie really shined tonight.
Yeah, well, I just had a problem because you didn't even give Butcher and the Blade or Kip an entrance.
Very that.
They were already in the ring, and I'm just like, guys, we didn't get the beginner promos at the show, which I missed. And then we went just straight into this, and you gave Orange, Penta, and Eddie an entrance, but then you didn't really showcase their opponents, who are also really big factors in AEW in general. So if you're really trying to make up Kip and, you know, Butcher and the Blade, I don't think this was a really good showcase of them. Like you said, Rick, it did feel just very much like a warm-up for Orange, Penta, and Eddie, which is unfortunate because, you know, these are all guys who can really go and just really, you know, are good wrestlers. You know, we had Penelope ringside and then we had Alex ringside and they did play a factor, but I thought this match was good for being just the intro match. I thought it was all right. Cresta, what did you think?
The best part about that match is when the two meaty men got in the ring and began to slap meat. I enjoyed the Biggie special, baby. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoy Eddie Kingston. I like that he came out with his belt, but I agree with you. We had a promo for MJF and Adam Cole. right before that, and that's when y'all played their intro. How many times have we seen that same promo? Like you said, put a little bit of respect on there. Let me at least think they might do something. Let me at least think. This was set up to be a squish squash from the beginning. But anytime Eddie Kingston's on my screen, I'm happy. So 10 out of 10 in the Tokyo Dome. No further questions.
After the match, Trent gets on the mic and says that the Blackpool Combat Club were going to get their asses kicked at Stadium Stampede. They're going to do it for Sue, damn it. They're going to do it for Sue, and they're going to do it for the van. And then we get Blackpool Combat Club posted up on the big screen there. Hey, look up here, guys. And then there's Santana and Ortiz. Santana starts first, says he went through a year of pain, a year of hell as he recovered from injury, and also a year of learning who's real and who's not. And then the thing that I loved about this is the second that Claudio starts talking, Eddie is gone. He don't want to hear it. He ain't here for it. He don't give an F what the big Swiss man has to say. He is running down the ramp. He is grabbing a chair. He is heading to the back, and he is ready to whoop some ass. And Claudio just keeps talking, right? Because Claudio can't see what's actually going on in the ring at this point. Claudio brings up the fact that every single one of those guys that are there out there in front of him right now were actually on Eddie's team a year ago at Blood and Guts 2. And he starts talking about, hey, look, you turned your back on all of them. I wouldn't be surprised if we're here for a year from now and everybody who's on your side in the ring right now is going to be you. This is a constant cycle with you, Eddie. It's always about you. You are the problem. You are the hypocrite. And that's it. They're done. And by the time Eddie gets to the back, they have left. So Eddie is a little late. Then Eddie just straight up accosts the cameraman, like trying to like grab this man and shake him for information. Like, you just shot them. Where the hell they go? How you not know where they're going to go? And then he finally reserves himself to grab the camera and cuts one of arguably, like I said, there were some highlights tonight. Arguably my favorite Eddie Kingston promo of all time. Where he's just looking in the camera, like if I could just pull my webcam close. He pulls it in. He says, I'm not surprised that Santana and Ortiz turned, but that's not going to stop him from gutting them and leaving them laying in the ring. He tells John, basically pleads with John to get out of his way. He's got a beautiful wife, a beautiful daughter. Do not get in my way. I don't want to hurt you. He promises to bury Wheeler Yuta. And then he gets really close and personal up against the ring and says, Claudio, you're my sweetheart. I'm saving you for last. I'm going to burn you and make sure you are scarred forever. And then he kisses the camera, a Jon Moxley special there. This was art. Aridian, I loved every second of this from Eddie Kingston. That's an effing wrestling promo. That was a highlight tonight for me, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Eddie Kingston is a highlight every single time he's on the screen. That man can just do no wrong. His promos are iconic. Just everything that he does. I'm a huge fan of Eddie Kingston, so I was here for it. But that promo, that moment where he held on to the camera, brought it to his face, kissed it, and then let it go was just so beautiful. I know that footage is just going to get passed around Twitter like nobody's business. I know that's going to be circulating. What a fantastic promo. I'm very, very excited. This Stadium Stampede is going to be such a mess. And I'm absolutely here for it because I love the Blackpool Combat Club, but Eddie Kingston is just something else. You know, him and Claudio's history is something that just can't be denied. So I am very, very excited for this. Cresta, are you as excited for this as I am? Because I feel like we're on the same page.
We are definitely on the same page. Now, before I start my love letter to Eddie Kingston, let me tell you other things that I like in this. I'm very happy that best friends are getting a main spot like Sunshine, because I've always felt that them and the Dark Order in the confines of AEW kind of get the short end of the stick, and they've been there since the beginning. So I'm very happy for this. I say this every time Eddie Kingston's on my... Does he know wrestling's fake? I don't want to know the answer, okay? I don't want to know the answer. I don't want to know the answer because I'm thoroughly sports entertained. That was some American psycho when he said, "You are my baby doll. I'm gonna get you last." I'm like, oof. If you weren't crazy, hey. Like, how are you? Hi. This match is going to be a mess. And part of me is excited, but the other part of me is like, this is going to be bloody. Oh, my.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, they're going to put on a show for sure for the, you know, 80,000 plus people like that. Mm-hmm. That's going to be absolutely insane. And just trying to think about where these guys are going to go. And what just anything and everything that they can do inside of Wembley. And then on top of that, this is so personal on so many levels. And I do love the nuanced storytelling involved with Eddie, where he has like varying levels of beef with each of these guys to where he's like, Yuta, all right, you're a pain in my ass. I'm gonna kill you quickly and I'm gonna bury you. You know, Santana and Ortiz, whatever. I don't really care that much. Not that big a deal. I'll gut you and leave you land. Whatever. No sweat off my back. But it's that hatred for Claudio and the fact that he is desperately trying to cling on to some form of friendship with John Moxley to the point where he says, I don't want to hurt you, but I will. Like, get out of my way, Iridian, is not him saying, I'm not going to touch John Moxley. But if you do, if you stop me from getting to Claudio, I'm going to whoop your ass. And that's a moment in Stadium Stampede I really want, is where Eddie is going as a beeline for Claudio and John actually gets in his way. That's what I'm looking forward to most tomorrow, and see what Eddie does when John does get in his way, because John don't listen to nobody. We know this.
Yeah. And you know what? This friendship is not friendshipping at the moment, but that's okay. I feel like it's just a hurdle. We can all get over it, but man, John Moxley and Eddie Kingston, we've seen them in the ring before, kind of like, you know, try to stop one another. And, you know, John Moxley has really interfered between them, you know, really fighting him and Claudio. So I just know that with all of this mayhem and now with Santana and Ortiz in the picture, it's just going to be so bloody. I need to mentally prepare myself in the couple hours that we have before this pay-per-view starts. I need to mentally be in the headspace for a lot of blood, possibly more fire. Who knows? Eddie Kingston walked out with gasoline last time. So that's what I'm expecting times 10.
Yeah.
Not the pizza cutter.
God, he walked out with a can of gas, just bleeding. Like it was at the end of Halloween, and he was he knows the only way he's surviving is if he blows up Michael Myers. Like, that's what Eddie Kingston looked like the last time. Maybe they actually do blow up Michael Myers this time. Maybe we finally get that explosion we were supposed to get in the barbed wire match, right? Like, maybe that's what.
Oh my God. I had pushed that so far out of my head.
Oh, Cresta, there are just some things you don't forget. Drew with a super chat saying, Eddie Kingston should do a one-man show like Undertaker, and I will go to every single one. Yeah. Single one. He says, we appreciate the super chat. Make sure to get your super chats and get your humper chats in. That's the way to get a part of the show. We'll answer any questions, comments. If you got any, you know, anything you want to talk about, favorite Bray Wyatt memories, we'll talk about anything tonight. We really will. After this was over, we get a hype video for FTR and the Young Bucks. This is another one of these matches that I'm really looking forward to. And this is one of those things already where they kind of highlighted the past where, you know, so much of this card, like one of the biggest criticisms of this card is how it was kind of thrown together last minute. But so many of these feuds do have a lot of history built into them. And just for the simple fact that, you know, FTR was started by Cody and the Young Bucks, you know, back on, you know, BTE, you know, a long time ago. These are things that have started a long time ago and are now finally culminating here at All In. So this was another one. I did like the video package tonight.
Yeah, and you know what? It's nice to see that some of these pay-per-view matches do have rich history. You know, FTR and the Young Bucks, this is going to be their third match. And the third one is usually the best out of the three. So I don't know what's going to happen between these two teams. But yeah, I really like this video package. FTR was talking about how, you know, when they were in the indies, they were really trying to make a name for themselves. And then they came to AEW right after they felt like they really needed to prove themselves when the Young Bucks were being called like the best in the world. So they're like, all right, let's go to AEW and we'll really see who is the best tag team in the world. So I guess we're going to find out tomorrow. I don't know. I think it's going to be the Young Bucks, though. But I could be wrong. Who knows? Maybe I'm just a little biased because I like the Young Bucks a little bit more. But Cressa, do you have a favorite going into tomorrow?
I think, and y'all don't yell at me because I'm sensitive and I'll cry. But I like the Young Bucks. But you got me, gal. You got me. I do like the Young Bucks, but I like FTR more. And I think in a wrestling match, FTR got it. In a sports entertainment match, the Young Bucks got it every time. But that's the beauty of it. It's a clash of styles. And just because Young Bucks may be more sports entertaining doesn't mean they don't give it up in the ring. The last time I remember FTR trying to be sports entertaining was Uzi Hot, and I never want to see that again. I never want to see that again.
Damn, you want to talk about stuff I had, like, blank from my memory. Now it's 1-1. It's 1-1 now. All right.
Well played, Jesus. Sir. But like, I don't know. I like it. And in a perfect world, 2023 has taken so much from me. But in a perfect world, we would have had the Bucks, Briscoe, FTR in a match. Sorry. But I hope FTR wins. I don't know how else it goes. They could fight forever, honestly. They could really fight forever, and I'm not going to be mad. If they win this one, okay. If they lose this one, they're going to run it back. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I'd bet the house on Young Bucks.
I'm thinking the Bucks, too. It makes sense business-wise or whatever, but I'm an FTR stan, so, you know.
No, I get it. There's just a lot of questions with FTR, and you know what I'm talking about. Yes. But regardless, over or under a half hour for this one, I would bet the over on this one too.
Oh man, I'd
say about a half.
Yeah, maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah, about that.
This is Tony Khan's dream right here, right? Because he can put on a 6-hour show, and it'll only be 6 p.m. here in the United States, like at the least. So he ain't gonna have people bitching that, you know, they were staying up too late, like.
It might be an 8-hour show. Who knows?
He might just go to midnight anyway. Just, you know, show us how crazy he actually is.
Don't let UK fans sit in like soccer stadiums for like hours at a time. This is light. This is light.
I mean, these wrestling fans stay up till like 4 a.m. and watch like SmackDown every Friday anyway, don't they?
That's
how
true.
Long is? I mean, it's ridiculous. Olé, 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 olé. It's ridiculous. Crester, your boys, the Dark Order, got a win tonight over Action Andretti and Darius Martin, Alex Reynolds and John Silva out there. And we immediately get some Johnny Hungy chants, which always brings a smile to my face. I do love Cresta, though. Not only do I like, you know, Dark Order, but just the chemistry that they have with one another, and that like combo that they do to get into the double jackknife is so smooth and so slick, and it never ceases to impress me when they pull it off. They looked hungry. They looked rejuvenated tonight. Hopefully it's the start of something. Literally anything. Literally anything for the remains of the Dark Order, because I feel like they've lost so much over the last few years here. So it'd be nice for this to be a kind of catalyst for them.
No, I totally agree. I really want Dark Order to do something. Again, talking about people who have been here from the beginning. Also, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I went to the bathroom and came back and this match was over. So I don't know what happened. They did their entrances. I came back and they were like in the ring doing this. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I mean, I have seen this before. I will always be high on Dark Order. What do we do next? I don't want them to win this week and then next week because they got to face Orange Cassidy or the Young Bucks, they're losing. Like, sorry, be consistent. I want more for the Dark Order. I think they can be great if you put the effort and time into the storyline. But it don't seem that y'all are doing that. And Evil Uno is a madman. So I don't understand why we're not doing anything with them. Maybe they're doing stuff in ROH and I just don't watch. But it would be nice if they actually had a run in AEW where they originally started, in my opinion.
It would be, man, could you do them and as the next up for the Trios Championships? Whoever walks away, whether it's House of Black or the Acclaimed, you know, with those belts, could that be next in line for Dark Order? If let's just say House of Black retains, could that be next? Why not? Iridian, answer the question.
I am right there with the both of you. I wrote that the Dark Order is so great. The chemistry between Alex and John is just chef's kiss. It really is. Mm-hmm. And I always want more for the Dark Order. Like you guys said, they have been there since day one. And I feel like at this point in their AEW careers, I thought that they would have had more than they do right now.
Yeah.
I like watching them on BTE, but people don't watch BTE. People don't go on YouTube and even know that they're on there. So if they aren't watching them on YouTube and they're not really being showcased on television, then what are you really doing with the Dark Order? I think you're missing out on opportunities for them to have a really, really great championship reign. Them mm-hmm. as trios champions would be fantastic because they have a finisher that is just so great. I've never seen anything mm-hmm. like it where they hang up their opponent like in a T and then, you know, Evil Uno comes and, you know, spins them around. It's fantastic. It's really just visually great. And I think that you are really missing out on a team like the Dark Order because they've had some really, really fantastic matches, great feuds. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many other teams that you can put them with, even just singles matches. It's just an unfortunate situation that they have been put in, just not being featured. And they can really shine, which is unfortunate. But I just want more for the Dark Order always.
Put the trios titles on them and then they can fight Adam Page and the Young Bucks, right?
I'm going to take y'all comments even one step further. Everybody loves the Acclaimed, right? You got this daddy ass comeback story. Let them win the trios title and let Dark Order beat the out of them for it and really turn them heel for it. You would give momentum to both teams because no one would expect that from the Dark Order. Everybody loves the Acclaimed. And if you lead the Acclaimed bloody, it would be like, yo, the Dark Order, you're wilding right now. I think would send them into the next chapter. So anybody else who they go against in the trios, let's say House of Black wants to do a run it back with them, it's not a joke. It's not a foregone conclusion. I like both of those ideas. Let's marry them together. Everybody, to me, everybody looks better for it because, again, everybody loves the Acclaimed. I didn't like that music video, but everybody loves the Acclaimed. So if they get beat the up by Dark Order, yeah, I would be cool.
Look at Cresta wanting to turn the trios titles into the TNT championship. Like, look at this.
Wow, yeah, wow, play, wow, wow, wow.
Look at this. Wanting to play hot potato.
I'm trying to help. Listen, there's a million titles in there. So is it my fault that I'm trying to book them? It's not my fault. I didn't do this. I'm trying to help.
You said I just work here.
We all trying to help. After the Dark Order's win, we see AR Fox or a replay of AR Fox offering an olive branch to both Nick Wayne and Darby Allin after he got booted out of the Mogul Embassy this week for losing to Nick Wayne. And Nick just effed off, said, nah, bro, I ain't about this right now. Although Darby does accept his apology. This was really weird, but I do believe it was Sean who reported on Fightful Select. By the way, just $5 for Fightful Select. It's the best $5 you're going to spend, and you get all of Sean's really, really great work. First, right there in your inbox, I always get excited when I see a Fightful email, and I'm like, ooh, what does Sean have for me today? So make sure to check that out. But I do believe it was Sean who reported that AR Fox could not make the trip to the UK to take part in this match in Wembley. So they had to go with some really, really weird booking. But you know what? AR Fox may have been in the Mogul Embassy, and now he's out of it, and now he's buddy-buddy with Darby Allin again, maybe not Nick Wayne, but there's kind of, again, some nuanced storytelling there. And Iridian, I don't hate Christian Cage. I kind of feel like that's an upgrade in this match. No disrespect to AR Fox. This would have been a great showcase for him because he's great. But from a star power potential, right, putting Christian Cage on this show is an upgrade. It just is. It is what it is.
And you know what? We love Christian Cage. No matter what he does, he is the greatest father in wrestling, right? The greatest champion right now in wrestling.
We love Christian Cage as much as Christian Cage loves reburying your dead dad. That's what we love.
Christian Cage says your dad is dead.
he's like, hold on. Let me get my notes.
He's going to be cutting a dead dad promo on AR Fox tonight. Because AR Fox, that was one of his lines. Like I lost my dad too. And you could just hear, you could just see Christian Cage going, what now?
Christian was in the back. Like,
let's talk about this AR Fox apology. I wasn't buying it. I was like, sir, you lost the match and they kicked you out. So now you're sorry.
Not me. That's totally the vibes I got on that too. It was like, crap, I effed up. Now I got nobody.
Yep.
What can I say to this man that will make him accept me again? And you know what? Good on Nick Wayne, because Nick Wayne, Cresta's got a good BS meter.
Yeah, I mean, I low-key wanted to believe it. Sometimes when you don't got nothing, that's when you see everything clearly. I would have been able to forgive that. However, you wore that biohazard t-shirt for like 3 weeks, okay? We all could have got something really biohazardly to us. You wore that same shirt. That was disgusting. I can't accept that. That's nasty. Take a shower. Wash that t-shirt and throw it away.
All right, Cresta, why did you hate the Acclaimed music video tonight?
You know, Rick, I'm going to answer that with a statement that my mom told me. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. So,
yeah, but we're also a show that, you know, we're supposed to analyze things and give constructive criticism, Cresta. So what is your constructive criticism?
I don't think this is constructive. Okay. I like the Acclaimed rappers. They are not. I come on now. It wasn't for me. Let's put it like that. I can see why it works, but every time they do a rap video, unless it's like yuck, yuck, and even then I'm just trying to force it, I'm not a fan of the rapping gimmick. I'm not a fan of almost any wrestling rapper gimmick. So that's maybe on me. Maybe that's on me. So,
possibly.
You know, it wasn't for me.
I'll say this much, because there were parts of it that I did like. And as an 80s action nerd, when they did the whole, and I don't even know if y'all picked up on it, when they did the Predator homage at the beginning of it, where they walk in and go, "Billy, you son of a bitch." That was a callback to Predator, even though they got the characters mixed up. Really, the line in the movie is, "Dylan, you son of a bitch." But there was a guy named Billy in the movie, so I'll let it slide. Anyway, I liked that. There were some really good... I actually liked the chorus, right? With the whole bringing back the badass Billy Gunn angle to this. But Iridian, like, seriously, I get the story. I get what they're doing here. To me, though... this thing felt like it went on for 3.5 minutes and it could have been 60 seconds. And I think it would have accomplished the same thing and it would have been much more effective.
Absolutely. I feel like it was the extended version and we didn't need it, honestly. No shade.
Filler. It was filler.
No shade to the Acclaimed, but I don't remember what they said at all. Max Caster.
We could have put on a women's match.
Yes, exactly. Literally, I bet you there was people backstage and they were just chilling, having a good old time. And they could have been having a great old time in the ring. I wrote down the Acclaimed music video, interesting choice. That's what I wrote.
Not choices.
I said interesting choice just to be played there. So that's all I got for it.
It did feel 3 times longer than the women's title hype package that we got afterwards, which was really good, by the way. So even when it comes to hype packages, by the way, because this is what this was. This was a hype package slash promo for this trios match that we're getting. And even that was 3 times longer than the Fatal 4-Way for the AEW Women's Championship match that we're also getting on this same show. Regardless, I did like it. We do have a super chat here from AT saying, love AEW, but one women's match on All In is crazy, he says. Now, we did also hear from Ruby Soho tonight. She challenged Chris Statlander to a match, and you're thinking, okay, maybe we'll get two. Maybe they'll put it on All In. You know, we'll get the TBS Championship match on there, because I guarantee you, if Jade Cargill was still the TBS champion, she would be defending that title at All In and Wembley. I guarantee you she would be. And that's one of my issues, is it feels like the TBS championship has really fallen off through no fault of her own, by the way, since it got put on Chris Statlander, because I feel like whoever's booking the women's division doesn't feel obligated to put the TBS championship on television because it is no longer on Jade Cargill. At least that's how I feel about it, judging the booking. And then, yeah, we get one women's match, period. Now, devil's advocate here already, and as we get a run-in, we got the run-in here. Devil's advocate, Jamie Hayter's hurt. There were some other injuries. A lot of things could have made a play into plans that Tony Khan had for the show. Maybe we would have had more than one women's match on this card if some of those injuries don't happen. But where we are now, it's still kind of status quo. It's the same old, same old. It feels like the women constantly get a backseat here.
Very sucky. That's what it feels like, especially even kind of like a slap in the face, because then you have people who are even on twice during that pay-per-view. MJF and Adam Cole are on twice.
That's a fact.
And you're telling me you couldn't get Mercedes, you couldn't get Willow, you couldn't get Sky Blue, Penelope, the Bunny. There's literally all these women backstage and you couldn't add another women's match. It just makes us feel like an afterthought. It's like we're not prioritized. It's like, okay, yeah, I gave you a fatal four-way, so you should be happy, that you should be content. And I feel like it's not fair. It's not fair at all. Like I said, again, when you have Max and Adam Cole fighting twice in one pay-per-view, and I bet you those that main event, one being the main event, and then even the pre-show. So it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and look, and Cresta, I can take a look. Like, I can sit here and I can nitpick and I can give a reason for why Max and Adam are on this show twice, right? Because it is a callback for MJF opening up All In on the first one, and now he's opening it up again. And it's, you know, a stage setter for the main event. I can sit here and run down, again, like I said, Jamie Hayter being hurt. There's all these little things that come into play, and that would be what the defense is going to be. So I can play devil's advocate and be on both sides of it, but the matter of the fact is, it always seems to be something, and when this always ends up being the case, you're going to be upsetting these people who want to see more opportunities for the women. Why can't you find a spot for Willow Nightingale on this card?
That is something that's beyond me, because I don't even think that, like you said, the TBS title is not on there. Willow Nightingale just won the Owen Hart tournament. She just won that. She's not on there. I think that when you don't have storylines, or when you don't necessarily put the effort in, even on your lowest level, it's reflected in cases like this. I am biased because I feel like I'm treated to superb women's wrestling, the best representation of it from Impact Wrestling. And maybe y'all could learn a thing or two. You literally had Madison Rayne go over there for that. Please utilize this woman. There are interesting matches. And even if they're not interesting, even if they have no storyline, I know that there are women in there who have the stones to put on just a random 30-minute classic. You've got Serena Deeb on your roster. You've got Hikaru Shida's. Hell, even bring in Athena. You've got the ROH. There are things
Athena should be on this card for sure.
I agree with that. Like, there are things you can do, but it's frustrating when you're like, I want to root for you so bad, but Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, you guys can only find 20 minutes total for women.
Mm-hmm. Like,
come on now.
Like, you bringing that up, after they main evented Death Before Dishonor, I would have been building to Athena Willow rematch at Wembley All In. Like, that.
I agree with that. 4,000.
That would have been a priority for me to put that match on an even bigger stage in front of 80,000 people. And showcase Willow Nightingale and showcase Athena, who, for my money, is a top five women's performer, period.
Yes!
In professional wrestling. Like, I mean, damn. Like,
so good.
It's
so
frustrating.
Good and underrated, in my opinion, bro.
Yeah. She's constantly been. Anyway, it's frustrating, and I get it. And I understand if people are upset about it. And look, judging by the people in the chat, yeah, that I've seen anyway. Yes, the people are going to be frustrated about it, and I'm sure Tony Khan is going to continue to hear about it. But again, Tony Khan also has a pay-per-view he has to book in Chicago a week later based off of how he set this up. So he's going to put Chris and Ruby on that show instead of All In. I get it, but it would be nice. It would be nice to see.
I'll take All In as an apology. We'll have all women's matches and one man's match. Thank you very much. And that one man match is CM Punk, so get out of here.
let's jump around here for a second, since we're talking about her. Willow Nightingale versus Robin Renegade. Willow gets a win. Very, very important. I liked this match tonight. They actually gave them some time. It wasn't a squash match. And Iridian, they gave Robin some time to cook here a little bit. Hasn't always been the case when the Renegade Twins have been on, whether it's Rampage or Collision or wherever they've been on. They don't get a whole lot of time to show what they can do. I'm happy that Robin got that opportunity tonight, because I thought she delivered.
I'm ready for the Renegade Twins. I don't know if everyone else is, but I am. And I feel like they just need to be boom, into stardom real quick. I think they have the potential. I'm glad that Willow really got some time this week. Because every other match, like I said, there was like two or three matches that got like an okay amount of time. And this was one of them out of, I don't know how many matches we got, but we'll get to it. Willow, fantastic. Can do no wrong. She's amazing. And I'm really, really glad that she has continued to be showcased in Collision, because I feel like her and Ricky are like top stars for AEW Collision right now. And we need to be seeing more of her. Robin, good for you, girl. You did the thing today. I'm proud of you. I'll see you next week, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm genuinely surprised, because unless I miss something, they're not signed to a full-time contract with AEW. They have not been signed, but maybe, you know, the Endeavor deal has something to do with it. But I feel like they should be signed by some major company, whether it's Impact, whoever the heck it is, to a full-time deal. I'm stunned it has not happened yet, Cresta.
Yeah, like, this is my first time seeing Robin Renegade wrestle for real. And that missile drop kick she got on Willow from the top rope was clean. That was great. And I agree. If they went to someplace like an Impact, I could see them being knockouts contenders. If they actually had a tag team division in AEW, you know, that'd be cute. But every time I hear about the Renegades, it's them doing twin magic, even though they're not, they don't look exactly alike. It's like, girl, come on now.
Bri and Nikki didn't either. All right. I could always tell them apart.
Okay. They did, but they didn't. It's like, it was close enough, right? I feel like the Renegade Twins, you can kind of be like, okay, that's not the same.
Yeah, that's definitely the Bella Twins were close enough where you could be enough. Mm-hmm. Maybe from the behind, I didn't know. But these two are very different. Like, one's taller, one's like, it's like if Big E and Xavier Woods tried to do twin magic, you'd have to split your eyes and be real drunk and be like, I think, nah, I can't be. That can't be.
Guys, make sure to get your super chats in and your humper chats in. That's how to guarantee that you're gonna get your comment read on the show tonight. I am gonna pull one here from Jason, who says, I want Thunder Rosa and the Renegades to be in a group. I would not be mad at that. I know Thunder Rosa's like getting ready to come back, that she's at least, you know, training at this point, from the last update I saw on her. Heck, she could even manage the Renegades until she's actually ready to get back in the ring. Like,
since we're just giving away manager's licenses,
right? Have her apply, get her on the show, good to go.
She Thunder Rosa, she don't need to apply, she'll go in at Tony Khan.
just give me the damn thing. Or you know what, like, as soon as, now here's what you do, as soon as Ricky's suspension is up, he just passes her in the hallway and tosses it to her. Like, that's all.
Oh my god. don't tell him it's not from you.
That's it. We're just giving away gold here on the Collision Post Show. While you guys are at it, by the way, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. Yes, the guarantee the way to get your comment read on the air, but also give us a thumbs up here. You know, give us a smiley face emoji or something. Engage with the video in some way, shape, or form, to help boost our audience. It really helps. Anytime, you'd be surprised, right? How much that little thumbs up, just a click. We've got 316 people in here. If everybody just hit thumbs up right now, that would really drive up our audience, and we really, really appreciate it. And by the way, if you haven't subscribed to the Fightful YouTube video, hit that subscribe button while you're at it. Let's jump back here to Big Bill. We were talking about Ricky Starks and his managerial license. Big Bill defeats Vari Morales tonight in very, very short order. This man was just tossing around another human being like a sack of potatoes. He picked up this poor man, who looked like he was all 3'5" in this match. Mm. He picked him up with all the ease of me grabbing my 2-year-old to take him for a diaper change. Like, it was that easy for him to just parade him around for this choke slam. Big Bill is a menace, and I love him for it. This was one of those big mismatches that's just fun to watch for all the wrong reasons. And then Ricky, like I said, there were highlights tonight. Ricky just gets up there with his belt and just whips this man and says, you know what? Nah, Ridian, this ain't good enough. I'm going to bring back a bigger strap next week, and I'm going to whoop your ass again.
Ricky is ready with the threats, okay? And if one thing he's going to do, he's definitely going to keep his promises. So I fully expect him to come out next week with just like a giant belt from where, I don't know, it's probably going to be Louis. Good for him. This match was crazy. It was super quick. And Vari Morales, I don't know. This was just too quick.
Feel for you, guy.
Too quick. So sad. And I don't really have much to say about this, because literally that's like 5 seconds. It was done.
Cresta, I really want Ricky Starks to come out with a Cody Rhodes weight belt next week.
Adrenaline in his hole. Take
can that happen? We do that? Will they do that?
They would have
that,
to be
is that
like,
legal?
Like what Iridian said, it'd have to be like a Louis weight belt that has to say Starks, and right when he goes to give it to Ricky, like, give it to him.
Give Ricky his own version of the American Nightmare weight belt. Like, his own bedazzled weight belt. Like, that's what Ricky should do in this situation.
That's
knowing how close Ricky is with Cody. Like, we all remember Royal Rumble Gate where he was caught backstage on security camera because somebody had to leak that out to TMZ or some shit, right, to make a quick buck. That's what I want. I want a Ricky Starks, Cody Rhodes-esque weight belt for him to come out and whip poor Mr. Mario Morales with that next week.
What if he comes out with one of those tuxedo bands, but it's actually like a belt that he can wrap around his waist like 8 times? Just like, whoosh, and it's like a belt. I'm overbooking it.
Hey, I don't care. We're giving away gold tonight. I don't care.
Listen, all you have to do is send us a small payment, Mr. Khan, of $444,444 for me and my compatriots here. Thank you so much. That's good questions.
Yep. Yeah, I'll sign on that. Yeah, that's for sure. Speaking of entertaining squashes, we got Keith Lee making his Collision debut tonight, and Mr. Ziggy Dice, entertaining as he is, this man got splattered like a bug on a windshield tonight. Again, this felt like nothing but filler. It was nice to see Keith Lee on the show because I know there was some confusion and there were some rumors surrounding him. Again, Sean reported just miscommunication when he walked out because he was supposed to be on Rampage or Collision last week, and it didn't happen because no one told him that he was scheduled for that. So he left thinking he had the night off. Again, Sean bringing in the facts and the scoops. So again, that's why you should subscribe to Fightful Select for just $5 a month. Iridian, what'd you think of the performance of Mr. Keith Lee and Mr. Ziggy Dice tonight?
You know what? I think it's nice that we got to see some local talent. Oh, we got like 3 people.
Not local talent, Ziggy Dice.
No shade to anybody. But I'm just like, okay, we are filling up space here. We are like, what are we doing? Also, it was like less than a minute and a half. So
there was more like pelvic thrusting than there was moves in this match.
Yes, Keith Lee came. Also, he did not get an entrance. We got Keith Lee, and then this man was already in the ring. So, poor Ziggy Dice. I'm so sorry, sir. Better luck next time. That's what I got.
It's heartbreaking to watch Ziggy Dice like this. You were really just in a program on Impact, Loser Leaves Town. Johnny Swinger beat you up, and now you're taking the power bomb to hell. You ruined his life, Johnny Swinger. Oh, my God. I was heartbroken when I saw that his opponent was Ziggy Dice because I knew what was going to happen. I didn't come here to see a murder.
Well, I'm just happy to see Keith Lee perform in any kind of capacity. Like, again, he's one of these dudes. He's on the Miro All-Star team of, like, can we get this man something to do? Mm-hmm. Like, I think the swerve one-on-one match has flown the coop. Like, it's jumped the shark at this point. Just forget it and move on. Let's find this man something else to do. He's too damn good. He's just too damn good. Speaking of being too damn good at what they do, another highlight tonight was Samoa Joe. Anytime he comes down and he gets on the microphone, the man just absolutely delivers. Talked about how it was his idea to be on commentary for our big 8-man all-star main event that got a lot of time tonight. I believe it was about a half hour, including entrances tonight. Said it was his idea to be on commentary because the people of AEW think so little of him that they told him, do not touch Mr. CM Punk tonight during this match, or you risk losing your match with him at All In. So he said, you know what? Instead of sitting backstage, just chilling, away from TV time and all that, I'm going to sit out here at the desk, bring my expertise, commentary, and analysis to the table, which it's so great to hear him on that because he ain't lying. He is good there, too. The man's just good everywhere, for crying out loud. He's like, I'm just going to sit here, and I'm going to watch this match because I am not going to screw up what I got. Well, I already got what I want, and I want CM Punk in Wembley Stadium all in to give him the beating he deserves, Iridian, to give him the beating he deserves. And the line of the promo for me is, I'm going to remain professional, even though that man dressed in a golden diaper and stuck me last week. I'm going to remain professional. God dang, Samoa Joe is just so good at what he does.
What an icon, honestly. I think I like Samoa Joe on commentary better than I did the match. That might be a crazy thing for me to say, but no, I also felt that this match,
I agree with you.
This match felt like the extended version. We did not need it. It was a little too long. We could have shortened it up, and we still got shenanigans afterwards. So I'm like, okay, now we're picking it up. I was more excited for Samoa Joe on commentary and for what happened after the match. I felt like I was struggling to pay attention, and we had Jay White in there. We had CM Punk in there. You got Darby, you got Sting, you know, all these like high key players. And I'm just like, okay, we can move it along. But man, just Samoa Joe, so good.
Yeah, Samoa Joe made this worth watching, Cresta, because this match was just one giant setup for the go home angle, which was, here's three different stories and they're all brawling separately across the arena. My God, here we go. Gang wars all in tomorrow. Be there. That's pretty much what it was. It didn't need to be a half hour, but hey, we got to see CM Punk wrestle. We got to see Sting wrestle. Jay White was in there. It was a hodgepodge. And for some reason, Brian Cage was there as well in the all-star matchup. And yeah, you knew he was going to get choked out. I loved the ending. Not that he'd get choked out, but you knew the second that this lineup got set, Brian Cage was taking the pinfall. You knew it was happening. Mm-hmm. You knew that was the ending. I love CM Punk, though, giving him the go to sleep and then looking over at Samoa Joe and locking him in the coquina clutch. He taps out, and Joe is so pissed. He doesn't even break eye contact with CM Punk, Cresta. He just says, gentlemen, I believe this match is now over, correct? And hops his happy ass in the ring. They start fighting. Jack Perry comes down. They start fighting. I actually did like the go home angle, but like to use the match to set up a go home brawl with like 90 different people. All right. It felt like a house show match. What it felt like.
I mean, who's mad at a little house show, a little razzle dazzle. I'm going to tell you everything that I liked. I like that Samoa Joe can sell salt to a slug. He reminds me, if this was a different time, that he would live down by the bayou and could sell you anything. Come in and get this snake oil. He is so good. He's phenomenal. He could be a preacher. He could grift me and I wouldn't complain because I believed it. I believed it. Whose fault is that? Mine. I also like that they came down with the switchblade cardboard cutout. That, again, last week me and Iridian said this. Y'all need to sell that as merch. You are playing. That's free money. That is free money. And I also like the ending when CM Punk did the GTS followed by the Coquina clutch looking at Joe. I do agree with Iridian that this was the extended cut. Again, we could have got
less is more.
Oh my God, the arsonist. What's her name? Sky Blue. We could have got Sky Blue. I blame AEW. That's not my fault. Okay. So it's like, I think you could have had something else, or you could just had the go home angle. We didn't have to do all this pop and circumstance, but at the same time, I'm glad I got Samoa Joe on commentary. I love Brian Cage, but didn't he just go like to the finals of an ROH tag tournament? Please don't do Miss One Senior Brian Cage like that. You don't do Christian Cage like that. And I'm sure they're related somehow. I'm making that up, but please don't do Homeboy like that. I want more. He's got a great look. Brian Cage looks so good. Why he's not in your heavyweight scene, why y'all do him the way y'all do, I'll never know. I'll never know.
Yeah, the cages got to stick together.
Brian Cage versus Ethan Page versus Adam Page in a steel cage on Rampage.
That's good. I like that. Why couldn't we get like Nyla Rose versus Taya Valkyrie tonight? Like, just give us something fun that we haven't seen before. Uh-huh. You know, just start with something. Right. And then see if maybe something progresses from there. Maybe they're really good in the ring with one another. And, you know, you could start some kind of a story there. I mean, there are some of these women that I can't remember if they're injured because I haven't seen them in so long on television. You know, like this was filmed on Wednesday. I know Saraya went out early because she was doing all the media in the UK. But, you know, we didn't get anything with Britt or Hikaru Shida on this show. Ruby was, like I said, the only representative of the Outcasts, even though two of them, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you could have taped something, some kind of angle, or taped a match involving them. Even if you want to do a squash match tonight, instead of Keith Lee, why not have Kurashita squash somebody?
Or like, even like you said, Nyla Rose. Like there, I don't even know who's on the roster for the women sometimes outside of like 10 people. And everyone else is like, are you injured or?
Hang on. One. There are 40 women on the roster, according to AllElitewrestling.com.
Thank you. Rick with the facts. It feels like there's 10, 12, maybe.
40. Honestly, yeah, I was like, I couldn't even name the 40 on there. Mm-mm.
Abaddon.
Where are you? There. Wait. Yeah.
Abaddon's first one.
Bring back Zombie.
Anna Jay, Athena, Dr. Britt Baker, Diamante. Emi Sakura, Harley Cameron, Hikaru Shida, Jade Cargill, Jamie.
Wait, Hayter. Is Harley Cameron in ring competitor?
She's 2-0 in singles competition.
She can be. I like that attitude.
Career 2-1. Career 2-1. Julia Hart, Kira Hogan, Chris Statlander, Layla Gray, Layla Hirsch, Madison Rain, Marina Shafir, Mercedes Martinez, Nyla Rose, Paige Van Zant still listed. She is 1-0 in her career. Penelope Ford, Rebel. Red Velvet, Riho, Ruby Soho, Soraya, Serena Deeb, Sky Blue, Ty Mello, obviously she's on maternity leave, Taya Valkyrie, The Bunny, Thunder Rosa, Tony Storm, Willow Nightingale, and Yuka Sakazaki. That is your AEW women's division, all 40 of them.
Interesting.
I'm going to need to talk to somebody. I don't know who I have to talk to, but then I need to, I want to talk. I just want to talk. I want to talk. I just want to talk.
Oh, wait, hold on. I might have miscounted. One.
He said, let me do my read. That's still a
sorry, lot. 35. It's 35. Sorry. I did
that's
a quick
count. That's still too many.
Yeah, it's 35.
Yeah.
My bad. Mm-mm. My bad on that. I did the whole quick count the columns and multiply and. I only counted 8 instead of 7.
And we're getting 4 on a pay-per-view tomorrow.
Only 4. And Saraya honestly makes sense. That's your hometown. Give sure. it for the UK crowd. I'll even give you Toni Storm, even though she's Australian. I'll give you that. But I'm saying, like, come on now. Athena didn't want to take a trip. What about Taya Valkyrie? Serena Deeb couldn't take a trip. I think she's injured. But still, I love Serena Deeb. And I'm upset that she's not in Blackpool Combat Club. That's my 2 cents, too.
That's 11% of your women's roster on your biggest show ever.
Mm. I'm glad you did the math because
I'll do math all night. Like, let's go. Like, I could bend the numbers. You know,
you got 99 wrestlers, but only one women's match. Like, yikes.
Now, how much you want to bet that's also like the shortest match on the show tomorrow?
I don't want to think about that.
I don't.
I'm going to be asleep when this is going on, and when I wake up, I have to watch Emergence. So I'm going to be treated to other women's matches. Mm.
We do got a super chat here. T-Dom saying that was a great main event, but whatever. Y'all are awesome. Appreciate it. Hey, we can have differing opinions. Look, it wasn't a bad main event. Like, don't get us wrong. It wasn't a bad main event. And I think Samoa Joe even made it a good main event by being on commentary. It was definitely a go home main event. You know, it's not a knock on AEW. WWE does them all the time too. So, you know,
that's true.
And we're not always going to agree on things, on matches, on maybe certain shows, but we thank you for sticking with us either way. We absolutely appreciate you.
I'm honestly stunned. We've made it 61 minutes, which is about 41 minutes longer than I thought we were going to go tonight. Iridian, what you got going on this week? Where can people find you?
You can head over to my Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook. It's Iridian_Fiero. I will unfortunately not be here next week because I have All Out coverage that I got to get doing. So really excited about that. So I will be doing that. But every Saturday, you can also find me here post-show Collision for Fightful with these two beautiful people, with Cresta and with Rick. Cresta.
I was going to say, who was the other beautiful person? But you actually met me. Okay.
Cresta, where can our followers find you?
Oh, I pressed the wrong button. You can find me at Fightful. That's where you can find me. I'm on Fightful every Thursday and every Saturday. Thursday, I cover the post-impact show with Joe Pearl. And every Saturday, I'm here with Ricochito and your rest friend, Iridian. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, you can find me on TikTok or Twitch. Sorry about that. At TikTok or Twitch at Crest the Star. And on Thursdays, following the post-impact show, we do a wrestler's run of Baldur's Gate 3, where myself playing Joe Hendry and my three other friends is Randy Orton, Jay Juicy Uso, and Big E, who's a halfling, run around and terrorize Baldur's Gate. I would love to have you there. Rick Cicino, where can they find you? Because my brain is turning off.
One-stop shop on the Twitter machine here, at Rick Cicino. You see how it's spelled right there. As far as next week, by the way, not sure when this show is going to fall on the air, because we also have Payback next week at the same time. And that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh Saturday. And then my happy ass is driving from Pittsburgh to Chicago for All Out. So
I'm by myself again. Ridiculous. I'll see you guys with Rob. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have a post show. Because speaking of
it may have to be like, it may have to be another one of those Sunday afternoon specials, mm-hmm. which if that's the case, just shoot me the link. And while I'm driving 7 hours to Chicago, I will happily just audio version only, just be like, hey, tell me what happened on Collision and I will give you my honest opinion on it. Like, that's where I'm at. So gonna be a crazy weekend for me next week for sure. As of right now, though, I have an interview up on my YouTube channel, which is the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast, spelled B-L-E-A-V. I talked to the remarkable Renee Paquette this past week about her new Cincinnati Bengals podcast, this is her second season, but everything on All In, from Saraya and her journey there to working with MJF and his maturation. We talked about food kinks. Like, we went everywhere with this bad boy. So it is up on the Believe in Pro Wrestling YouTube channel right now, again spelled B-L-E-A-V. Myself and SP3, we will be back on the air on Tuesday. We were going to do an All In prediction show, but after good buddy Bray this week, I didn't feel like doing a whole lot of talking. So, you know, we'll talk about Bray a lot this coming Tuesday. I'm also going to have an article that's coming out on Cage Side Seats about Bray, who is somebody who had a profound influence on my wrestling media career. I know another Bray Wyatt piece is just something that everybody's clamoring for, but I've kind of been taking my time to kind of find the words and the angle that I want to take on it. So I'll be dropping that sometime next week on Cage Side Seats. Again, one-stop shop, Twitter, at Rick Cicino. It's all there. But if you guys could subscribe to the YouTube channel, I would appreciate that. Other than that, give this video a thumbs up. Follow all of us on Twitter, and we'll let you know when and where the Collision show next week is going to be. These pay-per-view weekends, it can be nuts, especially when there's two of them going at the same time, and especially when it's our third one in a week. So it's absolutely crazy. We'll figure it out. We'll let you know once we converse with Sean, once he's back stateside. So we'll figure it out. We'll let you know. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel. Give this video a thumbs up. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Wait, hold on before you leave. We have a humper chat.
I do have one more super chat. I saw Drew hit me up on my phone. I saw it light up. We got a humper chat. It's from our good buddy Bizarro Big L. He says, good evening. All In is my therapy this week. Anytime I can watch wrestling, like my family watches football, it's going to rock. And if the women's division wants a new revolution, a certain writer / champ's wife is free from her WOW contract, AJ Mendez. If AJ Mendez shows up in AEW, I will flip my shit. Okay. Like that's where I'm at right now. That is like the one person that I miss so much, so badly. Like, if she's able, because the line has always been her back has been messed up, her neck has been messed up, she can't come back, right? Like, we've heard that before. We heard it with Edge. We heard it with Saraya. We heard it with Christian. They were done, right? They were done. They weren't going to come back. So she looked great in heels. I don't know if that episode has aired yet, but when I watched it on the preview, she looked great there. She's obviously in tremendous shape. If you follow her on Instagram, like... Pipe dream for her to come back. But if you could, Iridian, if we could, in 2023, if we could do AJ Mendez and Saraya again, reunite the rivalry, or at least maybe even have them team up, like in some, just seriously, like, come on. Like, at some point in 2023, we could have an Edge and Christian reunion and an AJ Mendez and a Saraya reunion. Like, is that what's going to be happening here soon? Like, Jesus, like, shove it in my veins, please. I need it. I need it.
The possibilities are really endless and really interesting choice that you said a pipe dream, pipe bomb.
Coincidence. Not intended on that one. That was, I wish I could take credit for that. I wish I was that creative. But regardless, we shall see. I would love it. I would absolutely love it. AJ Mendez would be a, even if it was just a one-off, it would be such a spark that.
Manager position.
I mean, yeah, we're giving out the cards.
Yeah, just have Ricky toss it to her, and then she can be CM Punk's manager or something like that. You know, we'll figure it out. There's a role. There's roles to be had. Or even if you just want to put her in charge of creative, I think that would be great too. Just a play. All right, we will let you guys know when and where we'll be back next. Again, social media. We'll put it out there. Same thing on Threads, by the way. Now that they have a desktop app, I'm back, baby. I'm back on Threads. We're good to go. Let's rock and roll. Same thing at Rick Uccino. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, guys. Thank you guys so much for staying with us here on the Fightful YouTube channel. Enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy All In. I know we got a lot of coverage right here, Fightful. This is the place to be all weekend long for your AEW All In coverage. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.